Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug.
And we also have our good buddy, Bob, from It's All in WDW, going to join us for another little special report on food and wine. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. You guys doing all right today?
Oh, we're doing wonderful. We got you on the phone. You're driving down 95. Is that what you're on now?
Actually, 75 up to Atlanta.
Okay, and he's going to give us a food and wine report on his way home. I know you're a little sad that you left all that good food behind, Bob.
Yeah, it'll hopefully still be there when we get back. but the good thing about the next trip back is that, you know, I've gone through the All in WDW Pre-Festival Top 25, and I've kind of settled on my top 5 to 10 dishes, and when we go back the next time, there's less to choose from, and we'll be able to pick from amongst what we like the best first time around. It just makes it a lot easier, and we don't have to run around the park taking pictures and doing all that kind of stuff. We can actually relax.
I'm just interested, Bob. So, just rough math. So, how many? So, you said you set your top 25. So, how many hours would you say you guys were at Food and Wine? And that means you had at least 25 dishes, or at least you and Mary split 25 dishes. I'm just curious how many hours of quote unquote work / eating was that?
Spread out probably over, let's see, we were there Thursday, Friday, I'm going to guess probably 9 or 10 hours, I think.
Okay, that doesn't seem that bad.
No, so what we generally do is we definitely do split the dishes. I mean, that is a lot to eat, right? And plus, mm-hmm. we won't have lunch and dinner those days either.
Right.
We'll be
we'll
be perfectly covered by Food and Wine. But anyway, what we'll do is we'll split dishes. And there's a lot of times where there's something that I don't like as much as she does, so she'll finish it and vice versa. There were one or two times where we ate the majority of a dish and then just said, all right, well, you know what? I mean, we don't like this so much that, we want to fill up with the rest of this. We'll just go to the next kiosk. So we spread it out over a number of hours. Part of that's because of the lines. I mean, when I talked to you guys last on the cast member preview day last
Thursday,
there were not very long lines. And part of that was because the festival really wasn't officially opened. When we were there Friday, between the beating sun and later in the day driving rain and long lines, I can't even tell you how insane the crowds were on Friday. And then I saw some pictures yesterday that people were posting of the promenade back in the back by Japan, and it was wall-to-wall people from one side of the promenade to the other. It was just crazy on Friday. I stood in the longest line that I've ever stood in Food and Wine on any day I've ever been there, including opening days, at South Korea just to get our last item, and I think it had to be about a 45-minute wait.
And what item was that?
That was the Korean barbecue beef.
Mm. Yay or nay?
I would say that's going to go on my list as just okay. Mrs. All and WDW thought it was a little bit salty. I didn't really pick up on that much salt. It looked really good. There wasn't a tremendous amount of meat because it was basically right on the bone. But it was kind of a cross-section of the bone, so you had to be really careful because instead of, like, if you were to, like, pick up a rib and eat it and have, like, the bone lengthwise, it's almost like it had been cross-sectioned, so it looked like a little dime, mm-hmm. a thick dime. So you had to be careful you weren't picking up some of the bone with the meat.
That don't sound too healthy.
Well, yeah, exactly. So from my standpoint, it was an okay item. Honestly, the part of it I liked the best was they had these kimchi pickled cucumbers that were really tasty.
But you definitely wouldn't wait 45 minutes in line for it again, right?
No. If there was a 45-minute line after having had it, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
So what were some of the highlights of the weekend? I know you're not going to give us your top picks because you haven't posted them yet, correct?
No, I have not. Probably going to be a few days yet. Some of the old standbys did really, really well. Some not as much. There were some highlights and lowlights.
Okay. Well, on our show, we love my wife loves the Chew, the whole nine yards. Give us a review on the Chew Labs. How are they?
Okay, so the Chew booths actually were part of the lowlights. And the reason was this, and you know, I mentioned on Thursday there's a measure of opening day jitters. Well,
right.
So we didn't hit either of the Chew booths until Friday morning, so that would have been the opening day of the festival, but really day two as far as them getting some of the bugs worked out. And we ended up showing up in that area behind Club Cool at around 10:30 or so, and there were already a number of cast members milling around. So you could tell that they were getting themselves all ready to start. And at one point, at about 10:45, and they opened pretty much promptly at 11, it was almost like they were all in a huddle. Hey, this is opening day festival pep talk type of deal. So you figure, all right, well, these people are ready to go. So anyway, I walk into the first line, which was Chew Labs, and that was more of a sort of a modern cooking type of thing, you know, with immersion circulators, et cetera, you know, liquid nitrogen and all that kind of stuff, which was really unique. And I'd never had food prepared like that before. Walked up to the cash register, and the young lady looks at me and says, "Wait, I've got to get this thing turned on." I it took them forever to give me the salmon, which, by the way, was tasty. But then they don't give me the strip steak. And I say, "Well, what's going on?" Well, the chef looks up and he looks over at the supervisor that had just strolled up and said, "My flat top's not working. Don't sell the steak." In the meantime, they'd sold about like a dozen of them behind me. So anyway, we get a refund on that. I go over to the other sustainable Chew. The service there was much better. Got the ravioli that they're zucchini and ricotta ravioli that they were serving, as well as a pork spare rib, and at least got service there. they were. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the dishes were presented very well. As a general statement, say that none of them will be in my top 10, but not because they were bad. It's just that the stuff that made at the other booths in World Showcase
was much better.
Yeah, much, much better. We did at the end of the day go back and they got their selves straightened out with regard to the New York strip steak. What had happened was their cooktop or their griddle had gone down. They had to bring maintenance out to get it fixed.
How was the New York strip once you got it?
It tasted good, but it might be. It was two small slices of New York strip. Very prettily, is that a word? Very beautifully arranged on the plate. Like I said, just a very eye-appealing presentation. It's just for $6.50, I think it was, two little slices of strip steak, it just wasn't worth it.
Bob, would you say it was smaller than the filet at Canada? At the
Le Cellier?
Way smaller. In fact,
really?
People, I would recommend you go to Canada, get the Le Cellier filet. You're going to be much, much happier than the strip steak.
That's good advice.
They'll iron it out after a week or so. Maybe they'll get some complaints. You need to put more steak on the plate.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that in prior years. I think last year there was a dish where you had got the first time and you were a little disappointed with the portion size, and then you said you went back a second time and they added a strip or another piece or whatever it was. I can't remember the dish.
That was actually a Food and Garden thing, and it was they were selling, they called it a smoked turkey rib. And basically what I think it was just part of a wing of the turkey, and they gave you one.
Right.
When we went back the next time, they gave you two. And you never know why that is sometimes, right? They could be coming to the end of one batch, and the next batch of the dish isn't ready yet, so they're doling them out.
And they probably also feel bad making people wait, so they're trying, it's not easy sometimes, you know what I mean? They're trying to weigh it out, what's best for everything.
And 2 points with regard to the chew, because I don't want to omit this. One, I wasn't expecting a whole New York strip steak, but to get two small slices about the size of a domino, for $6.50, when I could have gone to Canada and had another piece of filet, just was, I think, a little bit, just turned us off a little bit. And the second thing is, yes, it is first couple days of the festival. I'm sure they've got many more bugs that need to be worked out. We'll go down there hopefully in the next 3 or 4 weeks and try a couple of our favorites again, and they might be that much better. But the only thing that I would add is there were certain dishes that we bought from marketplaces that were, it was the same exact day, opening day, and they had all their bugs worked out and their act together, and they were just utterly phenomenal. The crispy pork belly in Brazil, for instance, was one of the most phenomenal things we had in the festival.
But Brazil's a repeat. A repeat there. Like, this is the first time the Chew's ever been there, so maybe they got to iron out that too, because it's their premiere at the festival.
And you kind of wonder as well as to if the recipes that were designed for these two outside marketplaces, which is basically difficult conditions at best to cook under, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
If the recipes were conducive to that type of a scenario. For instance, one of the things that I thought of when I was thinking about the bacon-loaded mac and cheese that Farm Fresh served this year, that follows on the heels of last year's pepper bacon hash. And I thought about that, and I said, for the long lines that you get, having to cook up all that hash in order to keep it fresh.
And so it don't dry out.
Exactly, may have been just too much of a challenge to keep up with the lines, but it's probably easier to execute a mac and cheese that's loaded with the bacon and the onions on top, and that's why they elected to make the switch in recipe. You never know what the backstory is on some of
right.
that stuff.
Well, just like Le Cellier, I mean, they've been doing this since the festival began. I'm sure they know how to get the steaks prepared for it. With the Chew, this being their first time there, trying to get down to the right portion and the right cook on a New York strip, it isn't easy.
Yeah, and you really can't replicate those conditions. I mean, it's pretty tough. So, it's one thing. I'm sure they have a test kitchen and, they might serve, X amount of dishes. But, to have hundreds, if not thousands of people cycling through your booth in a day's time, I mean, you can only really experience that at the festival itself.
Plus, in most cases, right now, the way they're set up, they're going to be the first ones hit because 90% of your visitors through Epcot come through the front gate, not International Gateway in the back.
No, that's true.
And you know what? If we had played Friday differently, it might have been a better experience for us. We did what you just described. We decided we were going to start with the two chew booths because they were in the front, and I knew I needed to have four dishes between the two of them as part of the pre-festival top 25. So it just made sense to start there. And Mrs. All in WDW made the comment a little later in the day as we were standing in long lines. She said, you know, if we would have started in the back, we'd probably be having a much more fun time right now. And she's right. If we had gone all the way to the back of World Showcase, the lines would have been less when
exactly.
we started because everybody would have been up front. We would have been kind of working against the crowd.
Yeah, because you have a double whammy with the chew. It's the first place you're getting to. So everybody's excited to go there. Plus, everybody knows the chew, so they're probably expecting more from that than anywhere else. And it was kind of probably a big pressure cooker for them.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, opening day jitters. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, we were very compassionate about the fact that it was opening day. And that you know, was a bit of chaos and poor communication, I think. I don't mean to throw the chef at Chew Lab under the bus.
No, we're here
too
to be
hard,
honest.
But the bottom line is, if he had communicated a little bit better that he had an issue, then they wouldn't have been selling the New York Strip. In fact, there was one booth we went to, I think it was on Thursday, the preview day. I went to Dominican Republic, and we had the seared grouper. I asked them for the roasted pork. And they said, well, we don't have that right now because some of our equipment's down. And I said, all right, well, then that's fine. I'll come back. But at least I'm not going to pay for it and then have to stand in line again to get a refund, which is what I had to do for the strip.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty important to say the steaks aren't available.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, you could see them behind the serving counter in the immersion circulate. Just sort of like bubbling around in there and thinking, saying, eat me. So,
well, Doug, well, we know what happened. It's all Michael Simon's fault, right? Because didn't Bob say that it's his Chew Labs? Didn't he say that?
Dude, don't say that here. Honey, I love Michael Simon. My wife, Michael Simon says, so you could take the wrath of Bob and my wife, Dennis.
I was just teasing. Remember, he didn't want to give any of the other chefs any credit.
Exactly. If Michael Simon would have been there cooking them New York strips, there wouldn't have been a problem.
Now, they're going to be there next week, is it, Bob? The Chew going to be filming some episodes? Is it next week?
I don't know the exact dates, but I did hear first week of October, so I would suspect it's probably maybe this coming week, but maybe the week after.
I thought it was the 1st or the 4th. I'll have to look that up. I apologize. I don't have – this was an impromptu. This was like a special event. We didn't even know we were doing this till 5 minutes before we did it, so I don't have my paperwork or I would have had the Chew information in front of me.
Yeah, no, we're just taking advantage of our good friend Bob availability here, driving home after doing a couple hard days at Epcot's Food and Wine 2015.
Somebody has to do the hard work, Dan.
Yeah, somebody had to do it, right?
The heavy lifting.
You forgot to add while it's fresh in my mind before I forget everything, too.
Yeah, we're all getting to that age now, right?
A couple questions for you. You don't have to rate them in order at all, so we don't give it away from your show. I mean, from your website. It's all in WDW. So did your lamb meatball let you down this year or no?
No, the lamb meatball was very good like last year. I would say that the crispy pork belly is contending for best in show. The Kahlua pork slider was good. One of the dishes, and I'm going to run a little bit of an experiment when we go back next time. So we walked up to China, and we saw people walking away with steamed buns. And I looked at my wife, and I said, well, wait a minute. They're not supposed to be having steamed buns. And I was forgetting they had the duck dish, because last year I didn't like it, and it was struck from my pre-festival menu almost from day one. And I knew they were doing this Gaoli beef slider. So I said to her, I think they have the steamed buns. So we ordered the slider. I go up, and they ended up handing me the what looked like very similar, if not the same, beef and onions mixture that was on the Mongolian beef on the steam bun that they've served in previous years, but they served it on a little sesame seed roll. And there's my slider, right? And it tasted really good, but the comment I made was, if this was on a steam bun, it would have been a contender for best in show, but as is, it's just a good dish. Well, when I go back next time, what I'm going to ask them is if they would give me that, but on a steam bun.
Okay.
And I'm going to bet they'll do it, because they are very accommodating when somebody wants something tweaked on a dish. In fact, I remember when I ordered my olive oil poached salmon at the Chew Labs, one of the ladies that was also waiting for her salmon said that there were certain components she did not want on the dish.
Oh, and, good thing Doug wasn't behind her.
Uh-huh.
Well, Doug would be yelling at her to get out of line. Take it or leave it, lady.
Absolutely. I guess the moral to the story is ask to get your bun steamed.
Yes, exactly.
So, finish up.
I was going to say that was good. The buttered chicken in Africa, that was very good. Every bit as good as Sana'a. That was a pleasant surprise. And in order to be able to make a fair comparison, Mrs. All and WDW and I met a friend for dinner at Sana'a on Wednesday night. And that's what I had for dinner there. So I actually was able to make a fresh comparison as to Epcot's version versus Sana'a's version.
So they were equally good. One wasn't, you couldn't pick one over the other.
No, they were about the same, really. Okay. If it was the exact same recipe, or if it wasn't the exact same recipe, they had me fooled, because I felt that...
That don't take much, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. But so that was good. I'm trying to think of what other things I had. The sea scallop was good. I think I mentioned that on Thursday. Right.
That's what I was going to ask you. That was my pre-show number one, the seared sea scallops from Scotland. They were good.
Yeah, it was. It was a nice size scallop. I wrote a year or two ago, same thing as what I said with the strip steak. I'm not expecting to have, an entire plate full of scallops, but scallops are pretty small things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, when we talked earlier about, a lot of dishes that we had to eat in those couple days in the top 25, you got to keep in mind some of these portion sizes are really little, and two people are sharing it. So it's imagine having small tapas, not even a regular size tapa. One of the comments that I've made in the past is that if you're going to serve something like scallop, then give the guest a choice as to whether they want to pay a slight upcharge to have two scallops as opposed to one. Because then if you're going to share a dish, like Mrs. All and WDW and I do, then one person each can have a scallop as opposed to splitting half a scallop.
Yeah, Brenda's right. Not sharing a scallop with me. She's taking it.
So Bob, other than what you mentioned at the Chew Labs, why don't we go this way so we don't have to be specific and we can somewhat keep your list fresh. Biggest clunker, other than what you mentioned at the Chew Labs, what would you say was maybe most disappointing of what you had?
There were a couple. One, I think I mentioned on Thursday, I wasn't a real big fan of the venison loin. And Dennis, you know this. I think you've even mentioned it on the show. A lot of times if there's something that I do feel needs to be kicked out of the top 25, then I'll taste something that wasn't in my original pre-festival top 25 as a potential replacement. I did try the New England lobster roll, which actually I've seen mixed feedback to my posts on Facebook and Twitter. A lot of people, one in particular, came back and said, that's not a lobster roll. So you would be able to speak to it better than me because I'm sure it's something that you have a lot more often, but you've probably seen the picture.
He is pompous with his lobster rolls, trust me.
Yeah, I'm a seafood snob, so yeah, when I get down there, I'll give it a go, and I'll weigh in on that one.
Yeah, but for me, I mean, if you go to allinwdw.com, folks, and take a look at some of the pictures I posted, my wife's comment when I brought that to the table was, way too little lobster, way too much bun. And I've heard that from a number of my readers.
It's kind of like when a crab cake's all filling and no crab.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Bread is cheap.
What's that?
I said bread is cheap. Breadcrumbs are, in this case, a roll or whatever. It's a lot cheaper than lobster.
Me and my wife can cut a crab cake in half and tell you within two seconds if it's going to be good or not. You know what I mean? You could tell by how the meat texture is inside of it.
So, as soon as you open up and you see, you know, the bread to meat ratio, you're gonna be able to tell. Well, in this particular case, it tasted good. We just wish there was a little bit more of it. And for all intents and purposes, is gonna knock the venison off my list. But couple things that were disappointing, or at least a little more disappointing than I thought. I was disappointed across the board, I'd say, in the Dominican Republic. It was a replacement of Puerto Rico, which was there last year. I felt the roasted pork could have been a little bit more flavorful. The griddled cheese over top of the yuca souffle, which is kind of a root vegetable souffle, I think the griddled cheese would have been fine just by itself. The souffle was a little bit on the lumpy side. And then we talked on Thursday about the grouper. The grouper just was a little bit stronger to my taste than I like when it comes to seafood. So that, I'd say Dominican was a bit of a disappointment.
I'm proud of myself there, Bob. I didn't have a single Dominican Republic dish on my top 20, pre-show 25.
You must have an inside track that I don't have. I think that when we do go back, I'm going to give Patagonia another shot because, in previous years, the grilled beef skewer and their Verlasso salmon were both very good. This time, because of it being the preview day as opposed, the day before opening day, I think they still had some jitters of their own, and both of them were a little on the overcooked side.
So you had the beef empanada and the grilled beef skewers there?
No, I had the Verlasso salmon and the beef skewer, and both of them were a little overdone for my taste.
Now, did you get the chimichurri sauce, Bob?
Yeah, that comes on the grilled beef skewer.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I thought it came with the other item.
No, the empanada is the one you got to ask for.
Got ya.
Yeah, Bob knows the tricks, buddy.
And then in the back at Brazil, they did really, really well with the crispy pork belly. The meat pie with kind of a yuca mash over top, it reminded you a lot of how they present the lobster and seafood fisherman's pie at the United Kingdom, but it has a beef filling as opposed to the seafood. And I just felt that it didn't have much flavor. Now, a couple of my readers have commented that they liked it. So, it goes down to that thing, everybody's tastes are different. And in this particular case, I just think that it just didn't really do a lot for us. And that's kind of how we'll judge the items. I mean, if it's something that when I basically work the list down to a top three or a top five, I'm basically thinking in my head, all right, if one of my friends is going to Epcot and only gonna have time to have three things, what three things are you gonna recommend?
Okay.
And if I know what those three things are, then I know they must be the top three in my list. And that's how a couple of years ago I made the decision that the Mongolian beef at China was the winner of the festival because I had had it once or twice that year, and it was just left a very memorable flavor. And I said to my family, this has got to be number one, because if I'm going to bring my son to the festival and say, if you got to try one thing, you got to try this, then that must be the winner.
No. Was there anything that surprised you on at the show so far? Is there anything that wasn't on the list that you tried that you thought was very well good?
Well, the only thing that wasn't on the list was the lobster roll. But the thing that did surprise us, because last year it struggled, and I think I had it ranked, geez, it might not even have been in my top 10, coming into the festival, the crispy pork belly.
Okay.
I don't know if it was I was just in the right place at the right
It
time. It
had the
was
right crisp
perfectly
on it.
cooked. Yeah, it was perfectly cooked. Crispy on the outside, tender, cut it with the knife, have it with some of the black beans. It was hot. I mean, it was just really good. That was one of the more memorable things that we had this year. I spent a lot of time talking about the chicken chipotle sausage in Canada. That's a dish that came back this year after being gone a couple of years. That was good, but not as good as it was that I remembered from a couple of years ago. So that was probably a little bit of a disappointment. I think I had built that up in my mind a lot higher than it really needed to be.
Okay. No. But
Well, it sounds like you had an awesome kickoff to the festival, and you got accomplished what you wanted to get accomplished, and it sounds like you're already mapping out your strategy for your return engagement.
yeah, that's going to be the challenge next, is we'll take the top 25 and we'll reorder them into a final top 25. And generally what we do on our second visit is, if we have anything else, we'll have, or at least for me, I think if we when we go back, probably Mrs. All in WDW will have her beloved lamb lollipop again. But for me, I'll just have things from my top five or six.
Well, what we'll also do, we're going to have you on next week after you post all your 25. You get your post on. We're going to have you on next week, and we'll go over all the 25. And then what we'll do is we'll try to get you and Dennis to do a dish or two when you're down there again that normally you wouldn't try, to see how it is. And maybe Dennis will eat the crabless crab cake this time.
Nah, they don't have it.
No, I'm just saying, we'll pick one of them out and we'll get you guys to try it. Some obscure stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think we should pick one, and Dennis and I should both agree to have it, and then this time I won't.
No, no, you got to play by the rules, Bob. We all can't be outlaws.
I hope they have a cilantro burger or something. That's what I'm hoping.
I did think of you when I had the crispy pork belly. It did have
Did you?
cilantro on it, yeah.
Just a few sprigs on top, or was it all?
Yeah, nothing that you couldn't pull off. Or, to
Right.
be honest with you, Dennis, if you
Good.
order it, just tell them you don't want it.
Yep.
Well, you'll be shocked to hear this. I don't love it, you know that. And I actually made a yellowfin tuna, grilled yellowfin tuna. It was a contemporary recipe, and in the yogurt dressing that goes on top, actually had cilantro in it. We actually put it in there.
Yeah. You're brave.
It wasn't bad. It
Yeah.
we have a mango chutney that we prefer with it that we're
Right.
gonna do. But I'm glad you came on, Bob. It was great hearing you on the road again.
All right, well, thanks. I appreciate it. I didn't know I was going to do remote reports this trip, but it has been pretty fun.
Well, there'll be an extra increase in your envelope this week for doing this on the road, so we'll take care of you.
Well,
All right, but
we'd
thanks.
figure we'd do Mary a favor so she don't have to continue to hear about all the meals in her ear, so you could tell us. We're your outlet, Bob.
Yes, absolutely. Except what she'll tell me later is, I got to hear that already. I listened to your side of the conversation.
But
She's barking at me now.
I don't blame her. She has every
Tell him I
input.
told you.
Yep.
Jesus.
But it's been wonderful having you on, Bob. You guys continue to drive safe. Everybody, Mrs. All in WDW is driving, not Bob, so he's not talking and driving at the same time. We wouldn't allow that on the show.
And tell Mrs. Allen WDW that we did record her comments, so she is on the show officially now.
Okay, I'll let her know. I'll let her know.
You guys have a
All
great
right.
trip.
All right.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.